You know, if you've been praying and praying for someone that you love to find Christ, you're going to find that this story today is for you. Hey, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson from Intentional Living. You know, it was a few years back that we had an opportunity to do an interview with U.S. Olympian Trish Porter Topmiller. Trish has been a longtime Intentional Living listener and supporter and friend, and she spent many, many years praying for her father. Maybe you have too. She was praying for her father to come to Christ, and she captured her story in a book called King Here. And what we'd like to do is share this with you in this newly updated podcast from Intentional Living. So Trish, you know, in your book, King Here, it's about the fact that nobody's ever too far from that reach of Christ. And yet if anybody was, quote, too far, it seems like in reading your book, it was your dad. Can you tell us about him?
Yeah, he was. I never thought he was. I thought it was impossible. And the Bible talks about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And that is what I felt about my dad. My dad was rich. You know, he put his trust and worth in his money, his self-esteem in his money. He had no need for God.
You know, that once powerful father of yours, it sounds like he had a lot of series of events that really robbed him of that power, kind of took him from what he thought was in his control. Can you tell us about that?
So lots of people make money so they can have things. My dad didn't care about things, really. He just liked the challenge and the thrill of making money. But through a series of events and through a series of people, which started with him losing 97% of his money and then losing his health, he became addicted to OxyContin. At 81, he developed breast cancer, and his mother had died of breast cancer. He felt helpless. He felt like he had no purpose. He felt like he couldn't impact others. He didn't have any hope.
Trish, you're hoping and praying, I know for years, that your father will finally come to faith in Christ. And then you get the news, and it's not the news that your father has come to Christ.
Yeah, wow. So in 2012, my 11-year-old daughter Shannon and I were driving home from Colorado Springs. Shannon's a figure skater, and the next day was the opening ceremonies for the Olympics. And as a 1988 Olympian, I often do media on that day. And so I had a couple TV interviews scheduled, and all of a sudden I get a phone call from Channel 13 TV. And then over the phone, I hear a lady say, "Can you please confirm that your husband's plane went down in Sedona, Arizona?" I didn't know what to say. Right then and there, my whole world changed. So all of a sudden, half my family was gone. My husband, Pat, of 20 years, he was a 1984 and 1988 Olympian. We had met at the Olympics. So I used to call him my gold medal, and then my children after that, both Connor and Shannon, were my gold medals, and they were our laughter. And so for me, my whole world changed.
You know, I've talked about the importance of declaring your intentions. It's literally step one in the intentional living process. And when you lost your husband and your son, you declared your intention. Can you tell us about that moment, that power of making that declaration of intention?
Yes, I did it literally almost daily with everybody who I spoke with. I said, "I trust you, Lord," and I had my one hand up in the air, and then my other hand, as life goes crazy and is not what you thought it would be, and your life is in turmoil, I bring my right hand up to my left hand in prayer, up to God, and I say, "I trust you, God."
So there's loss after loss, and you wonder what's going on, and then your father loses his wife, and then God steps in. Take a moment and talk about how God turned tragedy into triumph.
Wow. You have the loss of dad's health to OxyContin, so he's not functioning. You have the loss of my husband of 20 years and my son, 15-year-old son. You have the loss of his wife. You have the loss of his money. And so to me, that looked hopeless. But then God stepped in with people. So I get married. And I waited. I waited, you know, almost 4 years to marry a man that loved the Lord, who also had lost his wife the year before. And so he understood pain. He understood grief. He understood loss. And with that, he was able to connect with my my dad, because my dad couldn't say, you don't understand, you don't know what I'm going through, right? You don't know my pain. But James did. James knew his pain.
You know, Trish, a lot of people, including myself, are praying for loved ones to come to faith, and it seems like it's impossible. And yet, here's your father, who has for all of his life been running from God, but he raises a daughter who comes to Christ. You're a miracle. You really are. And so I guess the question is, how did you come to Christ when your father wanted nothing to do with him?
I have no idea. It's only God. Only God is how you can explain it, because we didn't really go to church growing up. That wasn't part of our lives. But I had other people come to find out. I had several other people who were praying for me. And I had other family members, my aunt and uncles, who were praying for me and who shared Christ with me, whether it be through giving me a book or their example. And then finally being willing, when I was in a time of uncertainty, to finally ask me the question, do you want to pray to receive Jesus?
God sent someone very special into your father's life, and you're not sure if it was a human or something else.
Yes, God sent an angel, and his name was even Michael. There in the front row at church, Michael would each Sunday worship the Lord with his hands, singing and praising God, and my father was inexplicably drawn to him. Now, was he an angel? That's all debatable. For me, I believe he was, just because I can't explain why my dad was drawn to him.
As you were praying for people to come into your father's life, there was a man who you might call an angel, because you ended up marrying him. And his name is James, and he had a tremendous loss, and God used that in your father's life. Tell us about it.
Yes, he did, because my dad could respect him. He was a businessman. He was a civil engineer. He was successful, and he loved the Lord, and he had lost his wife. And so that made my dad, I think, willing to listen to him, because they could almost talk as peers, even though there was, you know, 20-year age difference. But James understood what my dad's pain was. And so James was bold and intentional in trying to spend time with my dad and in sharing Christ with him and wanting to share Christ with him.
Trish, I know you were hoping for years and praying for years that your dad would come to Christ. And like a lot of us, you kind of get that picture in your mind that maybe you're going to be the one to share the gospel and you'll be there for that moment. And it's almost like God put in your heart and mind in advance that you were not going to be the one. And it ended up being your husband, James, was going to be the one. Can you tell us how you kind of knew that that was going to work out in that way?
Yeah, that was, I always thought maybe it would be me, maybe it would be my brother's wife, maybe it would be my brother. I didn't really think a lot about it. You always hope, because of your own ego, that you want it to be you. But at the very last minute, everything in me just knew it was going to be James. And I believe that was the Holy Spirit. I believe that it just made sense. James was a widow. James was a businessman. My dad liked him. My dad could respect him. And I thought he would be the one. And I'm not sure if I hadn't encouraged James that way, and if I hadn't encouraged my Bible study to pray, what would have happened? Who knows? But I think it was, again, another piece of the puzzle, that it wasn't about me. It was really about my dad coming to Christ.
You know, while we're waiting for loved ones to come to faith in Christ, you tell us that there are some intentional one things that can be done. One of them is to pray. And, you know, we all know how to do that, and it's important. But you also talk about be prepared, you know, be watchful, and be sure to walk through when the opportunity comes. Can you tell us about those three things, those three one things in your life?
Well, we need to know how to share Christ with people. So we need to be prepared and know maybe the Romans Road, which I have in my book. And then we need to be watchful. We need to keep an eye and see how God is opening a door possibly with those people. And then once that door is open, we need to walk through it. Because so often, our fears paralyze us, and we don't actually step through and be willing to talk to them about the Lord.
You know, some of them almost seem kind of hard to balance. And you say, be loving, be bold, and don't forget to ask. Can you talk about that balancing act?
Yes, I think it's really important that when we share that we have an attitude of love and we really listen to the people and we ask questions in a kind way. And then we do need to be bold. We need to be willing to be confident and excited about this good news of Jesus Christ. And so we need to be willing to share also maybe our own testimony and not be apologetic or shy. And then we need to ask. We need to remember to ask people if they want to pray to receive Jesus and his salvation and for forgiveness of our sins.
Thanks, Trish. That's U.S. Olympian Trish Porter Topmiller. And if you'd like to read her complete story, can I encourage you to click on the link provided to learn more about her book, King Here. For the entire Intentional Living team, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and thanks for listening today. Well, I hope you enjoyed that with Trish Porter Topmiller. That was recorded about 3 years ago, and we've shared it on the radio, of course, and on the podcast here today. And we thought we'd get Trish on the line and get a catch up on where she is today. So, Trish, welcome back to Intentional Living today. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
You know, as I was listening again to what we talked about 3 years ago, your dad's story, your story, and I think the way you really put it is this fact that you're never too old, you're never too rich or too anything to meet Christ in your own journey with your dad and your family. Now, as you look back 3 years from that interview, what's been going on in your life? What's new?
Wow. Well, it's been an exciting 3 years. I kind of went through a phase where I did lots of podcasts and interviews and all around the U.S. and the world. So that was very exciting. And then television interviews. And then I was hitting a public speaking time where I was speaking to schools and churches and women's groups. And I had was supposed to speak for 1,000 people for the NCAA, and COVID hit the day before. So that was really kind of a change for, you know, myself and everybody else, obviously. So we went more into kind of a podcast and radio mode. But my life has changed a lot in the last 3 years. My daughter has stopped skating. She had been skating since she was four years old, and she was 19. And then she went to college at CU Boulder. So we are empty nesters now. Yeah. So that's a new season in life, which really, you know, has caused me and caused my husband and I both to reevaluate where we're at, to be intentional on how is God going to use us now going forward where you don't have children in the home. You know, what does that look like?
You know, it's interesting. I just did a lesson with our members and with our team here on the seasons, how each decade of life has a kind of a goal or something we have to accomplish.
Yes.
And one of them is this empty nest decade when you're going through, hey, I'm no longer as responsible for my kids as I was before. And you look to your spouse and say, where are we now and what are we going to do? So what has been the answer? What are you coming up with as you look at this stage for what's next in your life?
Well, I think it's an exciting time. I love being a mom, and I loved being part of my daughter's life and my daughter's friends and kind of ministering to them. But it's exciting. You know, I think we choose how we're going to view this time. Are we sad? Do we feel like, you know, we're at the end? Or do we look at it with purpose and intent? So James and I spent a couple days planning. We called it family planning. Kind of an awkward term, but planning, what do we want the future to look like with us? And so really the question has been, how can God use us to further his kingdom from going forward? What does that look like? And so we're trying to be really intentional in ministry with my daughter and her friends still, in ministry with friends. What does that look like? How can we help our friends go through life better? And then how can we impact the kingdom for Christ? How can we share the Lord with others? So part of what we've done too is I've created a foundation called King Porter Foundation in honor of my dad and my 15-year-old son who passed away, along with my late husband, Pat. So that's been fun to kind of focus us even more on how we can do giving and help our community locally and regionally.
Mm. You know, as we were listening to the interview we did 3 years ago, a little bit ago, you know, there's a lot of loss. And we talked about the fact you went through a lot of loss in your life. How do you think that's impacted you now that you kind of look in the rearview mirror a little bit, you know, with your dad, your son, and your husband? And how has that impacted your view today and about being intentional in your life at this stage?
It's been a great impact, you know, in many ways. One, I have a little bit of a ministry where I help other moms who've lost their children. I've had several friends where that's happened. And so I can come alongside them in a very different way that other people can, because I know their hurts and I know their pains and they know that. So that I'm glad. I mean, that's biblical that we go through things so we can help others go through them. And then there's a lot more tears still, even 10 years down the road. We're almost at 10 years. And then the main thing is the realization that life is short, that no one knows when their last days are, and that I need to be responsible to be able to share the Lord and share the love of Christ and share what Jesus has done in my life. It's kind of a quickening. Yeah. One of the things I'm so grateful for that I've realized literally just in the last few years is that both Connor and Pat and my father all knew the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I know I will see them again one day in heaven. And that is a gift they gave me. And I am grateful for that gift. And so I want other people, you know, by sharing the Lord, I want other people to come to know the Lord so they can give someday that same gift to their family.
That's powerful. Well, Trish, I'd be interested in, you said you and your husband spent a few days away and talked about your plans and looking at your plans. Maybe you could help some couples that are at this stage where they're thinking about the future and they don't even know where to begin to talk about those kinds of things. Can you discuss a little bit about how you structured? Did you have questions that you were facing? Did you take a book or to go through, or did you just wing it? What did you do, and how did that work for you guys?
It was structured. My husband structured it. He's a civil engineer,
so
he's very linear. And so I had a binder with tabs, and we had our spiritual life individually. We had as a couple, and then we had our ministry. And so we would spend between kind of 3 and 4 hours a day, literally working on it for several days on each of these sections. And he just had questions and, you know, where do we want to be? What do we want things to look like? What areas did we succeed in last year? Where do we need improvement? What areas do we want to work on? What do we each want individually and then together? I love the time. I think it's a neat time because, one, it's also based in prayer, you know, and so that, to me, one of the most intimate things is praying with my husband. I love that, the intimacy, the closeness, and women typically want closeness, right, with their spouse. That is one way of achieving that. So, no, it's very structured, and he came up with everything, and I love it. It helps us, and we've done it for a couple years now.
And so I would imagine that provides some direction in terms of what you're going to do and how you're actually going to play that out in your life. I think so many couples, I was thinking about this, you know, I did this teaching on seasons, and I had someone I really respect make a statement to me. He said, I've worked with a lot of older people who have been successful in their life. They've done their thing. They've done their goals. They've done their accomplishments, but they don't finish strong. They finish weak.
Yes.
They run out of gas in the process. So to be at a stage where you're saying, hey, we don't want to run out of gas. We want to get focused, be intentional, time is short. I think that's a really powerful thing.
Yes, I totally agree with you. So as an athlete, one of the things I think about, and one of the things that my dad has made me think about, is I want to finish strong. I don't want my best years to be my first three quarters of my life, so to speak. And I've had people tell me that, oh, my best years were my 20s or, you know, 30s. Mm-hmm. I want to finish strong, and I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And this can be a wonderful time, a wonderful season. It's a different season. It's a very different season, but it can still have an impact, and even in some ways, maybe more of an impact for Christ, because we have a quickening that life is getting shorter and we want to share the gospel. We want to be bolder. We don't necessarily care as much what people think or hurting that's somebody's true. Feelings. I mean, that's not saying we're being rude or anything like that. It's that we may take a little bit more of a risk. Yeah. We may take more of a risk sharing with someone.
You know, in your book, King Here, we talked about this a little bit earlier on the interview we did before. Your message really was for people who love people, but maybe they're feeling like, you know, they can't get through to them, they can't reach them. What do you say to a person today who's really struggling, like you did with your dad? You loved your dad, and you wanted to reach him, but other people who are listening who care for some people in their lives and they're struggling to reach them, what intentional advice do you give to them?
I think one of the things that I've realized more lately is that their story isn't over yet. We think, because we've been sharing, that they should come to know the Lord now, whether it be a high school student, a college student, a dad. We don't know the end of their story. And so to not give up hope, to keep praying, to keep planting seeds, the importance of seed planting. I think we look at numbers and say we want, X number of people to come to know Jesus because of us. Mm-hmm. That's our selfishness. But that seed planting is very important. And God is the one who waters that. That's not our responsibility. But to stay steady, don't give up. Their story isn't over. And stay in the game. You know, don't lose hope.
That's good. I didn't really prep you with this question, but you've been faithful in praying for and supporting what we've been doing here with Intentional Living. We appreciate that. Why is it you support Intentional Living? What is it about what we do that causes you to do that?
Wow. I think you were a really important part of my life when I was raising my children when they were really young. The wisdom and information that you guys gave me for and have given me for life and for life with Christ, where I didn't necessarily have examples of that. It was a place to go. It was a place to come for encouragement. And then when Pat and Connor passed away, your staff, and it was wonderful for us and was very encouraging. It was very encouraging to my daughter. You guys have prayed for us for years. And so I really appreciate that. I feel like I have a relationship with you as Intentional Living and Family Life, which is an interesting concept, right? For being over the radio. And I feel like it's actually two-way. So I think I really appreciate you guys. And I think it's a wonderful ministry.
Well, Trish, before we wrap up today, you're making an offer that's just irresistible that we want to get out to our listeners. Your book, King Here, Never Too Old, Too Rich, or Too Anything to Meet Jesus, is not only life-changing, it shows your story and some photographs and things that people will enjoy, but it's award-winning. It's won many awards, and you're making available some copies of this to get to our listeners today, and we want to say thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. Why are you doing that? Not everybody gives away books. Why are you doing that today?
Because I want people to have the story and to hear about how Jesus can change lives and hopefully encourage others to share Jesus.
Amen.
So thank you for doing it.
And I'll tell you what, we're going to make it really simple for you. Right here on the podcast page, you'll see a little form where you can fill out. It'll come in here, and our producer, Stephen's going to make sure that we get these in the mail and we'll get them to you. King Here from Trish Porter Topmiller. This book will be very encouraging, life-changing. You hear her, read her whole story. And we want to thank you, Trish, for your support for Intentional Living and for making your book available to our listeners today on the podcast. And hopefully a lot of people will respond. So again, thank you for being a part of the podcast today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.